I didn't get any invitations this year to be a baccalaureate or a commencement speaker. However, not to let that deter me, this is my chance. Actually, though, being a commencement or a baccalaureate speaker is to encounter a tough crowd. I would say that by and large, the graduates are ready to move on, to get it over with, and advice at that point, especially from an older person, is not that welcome. Now, this text this morning I picked somewhat arbitrarily because of the season we're in, which is baccalaureate and commencement season, and because this has that kind of old man to young man flavor, Paul to Timothy. And so I wanted to look at that and to look at what he had to say and then to think how that might affect all of us. Shall we pray? Dear God, on this journey that we have in life as we move from page to page and chapter to chapter, might we seek your counsel in Scripture, from others, and in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. My usual practice is to, when I have an encounter in the Bible between different individuals, is to just think, what was that actually like? Rather than putting that on some sort of a higher plane where it was like a ghostly floating above human existence, what was it like? And so I found myself wondering how Paul's advice to Timothy was received. And in order to get into that in my imagination, I took those words, I put them in today's setting. And so I asked myself whether I thought that Timothy was running out to the mailbox every day hoping for a letter from Paul telling him how to run his life. Was he looking for advice constantly from his mentor, Paul? Oh, good, I got another letter and this will tell me what to do. Or, very possibly, was this letter that he received, did it come with a little bit of an eye roll? Oh, here's another letter for the Paul pile. He just won't let me alone. I don't know whether Timothy was enthused and excited or whether he felt perhaps trapped. There's no way of knowing this. It's certainly the case that Paul offered advice. I counted six counsels that he offered to Timothy just in this morning text, and there are more in 1 Timothy, the larger letter, and 2 Timothy. But just in this morning text were these: set an example, until I come devote yourself, do not neglect your gift, be diligent, watch your life and doctrine closely, and persevere. That's a lot for an older man to lay on this younger person. Now, as I said, we don't necessarily know how he received this. I like to think that he was, in fact, honored. He was encouraged. They had that kind of a relationship. But while we can't be certain how he hears that, we can, if we think about it, know how we feel when we read this scripture. And I use that word "we" deliberately because I am not just focusing on young adults. I don't think this is just about young people. I think this is a baccalaureate address for all of us, because at the heart of the matter is a pretty fundamental choice point as one travels through life. Now, I realize that there are those persons, there's actually quite a few of them, who claim that they just take life day to day. I get up in the morning, and I see what life has, and I proceed accordingly. And that kind of a laid-back attitude does have its virtues, but I don't totally buy that claim when anyone tells me I just take life day to day. Because I would propose that even the most laid-back person has some kind of a foundational orientation. I'm going to use the word this morning, a North Star, which we in this hemisphere would use, to orient ourselves, to know where we're at, to get our directions, to not get lost. Everyone has some kind of a North Star, a guiding orientation that then determines all of the rest of life's course. I'm going to offer some examples in just a minute, but first I want to note that really what Paul does with Timothy is to call him to stay focused on his North Star. What was it? I don't expect you to actually answer, but think about that just a little bit. What was that? How was he to stay on track? He said, do not neglect your gift, which was given you when the elders laid hands on you. Don't set that aside. Don't neglect it. Always remember that. Now I want to talk a little bit about today. If Timothy had lived in our times, if he was experiencing the life that we were, on the one hand, here's the letters that are coming in from Paul, but on the other hand, he's a young man and he wants to get on with his life. And I found myself asking, so what are the things that might have gotten him off track? And obviously, the application is, what are the kinds of things that have appeal to us that might get us off track? What is it that could supersede God's call? I'm going to give three of these, just as samples. None of them are immoral. All of them are commendable. All of them deserve attention. All of them are temptations. One would be career. That's a North Star that has a lot of power. Have you ever thought of all of the things in your lives that might have hinged on career? Career can steer choices about where one studies. I think I'll choose this college versus that college because I'm interested in this kind of a career. It can determine what one studies, where to live, that is, where is the job. I think I'm called to live here rather than here because my career says that the best jobs are in this particular city. Career determines for many people how the majority of their time is spent. And then, if there is time and opportunity left over, after career is set and everything is tended to, that's what trumps everything, then I'll try to insert and layer in the call from God. Not that career is unimportant, but if it does in fact supersede everything, if it's the first consideration, then God's call is moved to the slot which is called spare time. It's not that the serve God first letter, like the one that Timothy got from Paul, it's not that it's thrown in the trash, it gets put on the to-do later pile. I'm trying to think now, how am I going to lead the next chapter of my life? And my first thought is, my North Star is my career. Once that's settled, then comes the question of how God can be integrated into that. It's subtle, but it's a temptation. Here is another North Star. Let me go back to career for just a moment. We have a little bit of time, I think. It was actually here in this sanctuary when we were holding conference sessions that Michael Crosby, who is the pastor currently at First Mennonite Church of Champaign, and I was actually his mentor assigned to him as he began pastoral ministry. I was his mentor, and he came to these conference sessions here, and he preached an outstanding sermon. Several months later, he came to me. Michael happens to be a very, very bright person. He's an Old Testament scholar, and that was certainly an option for him. And he was trying to decide, should I go on and pursue a career in biblical studies? Or should I continue to be a pastor? At that time, he was the associate pastor. I think this is the only time I've ever told somebody this. But what I told him was, don't forget and neglect your call to preach. And I am not sure that his call was to be a pastor and not an Old Testament scholar. I think that the one could have been equally in service of God. But I am simply saying it was a way of framing, do not forget, think about, what is God calling you to, not what do I think I would enjoy or that I would be best at. He ended up staying in pastoral ministry. Well, here's another North Star. This one can be in place temporarily, and I'll explain. But sometimes it goes on for years, or it can be permanent. And this North Star is pleasure. I think it's most visible at both ends of the age spectrum. If graduating from high school, and if this sounds like I'm talking from personal experience, I am, although I wasn't dramatically off track, but it's pretty easy to think, I deserve to spend a few years having a good time. For some people, they say, I deserve to spend a few years partying and sowing my wild oats and taking a vacation from annoying people like my parents and church and Paul. I'm going to go to college, and my primary thing that I am going to seek is going to be pleasure. I'm tired of being diligent, so my North Star will be indulging myself. I'll get back on track later. But I said this is at both ends of the age spectrum. If there was such a thing as a commencement ceremony into retirement, sometimes one hears or sees the same thing, just taking a different form. It's not so much that retirees at their age seek wild partying, but the script still is, I'm tired of being diligent. It's somebody else's turn. I'm going to enjoy myself and let somebody else worry about church and service and so forth. I think it's time to turn the page into a vacation that's about me for a year or 5 years or for the rest of my life. I wouldn't expect it to be different, but the AARP magazine, which I now get, has zero articles. I've never read an article that says, don't forget your call from God, your gift, be diligent, and so forth. And it's what we expect. It's a secular publication, but still, it is one of the places where the message comes that says, what should guide the next decades is your self-indulgence. And so that becomes the North Star. And then in the midst of all of that, as I have time and inclination in my spare time, I will serve God. Here's a third North Star, which definitely isn't immoral at all. It's absolutely a value I hold to. It is called family. It's an interesting one. In family, I include my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, my parents. And I want to insert here a word about preaching. I mean, my own preaching. I'm sometimes told we like it when you tell stories. That's what people tell me. And the problem is I'm about out of stories. So I have to start repeating stories, and that's what I'm going to do this morning. So if you want new stories, you need to tell me some new stories, and I'll preach them. But here's what I mean by how family can be a misguiding North Star or not. This is my aunt on my mother's side, my oldest aunt on my mother's side. Her name was Phoebe, and she had received a call, a clear, distinct, dramatic, emotional call as a young girl of 11. She heard a voice, and her call was to be a missionary in Africa. She also wanted to be married. She wanted to have a family. Twice she fell in love with someone who wanted to marry her and would have been an outstanding Christian companion. But she asked each of those two men the same question. Do you share my call to go to Africa as a missionary? And each of the two said, no, not really. And she never married. Her North Star wasn't family. Family was terribly important to her. I have a whole box of letters of the ways she kept in connection with her family back home. She valued family. She was a proponent of it, but her North Star was her call. And I will admit, even today, I find myself wondering, Aunt Phoebe, couldn't you have served God married and staying in this country? I'm just saying, here was a person who refused to be thrown off track. I don't know if it was the right or the wrong decision, but I find myself pondering her testimony. Now, there is no question that a necessary nuance is missing in what I've said, because the nuance that's missing is rarely is it either or. One can serve God and pursue a career. One can serve God and enjoy pleasure and enjoy life. Obviously, we put energy and focus into family. It's proper that there should be sermons on family. And we can at the same time serve God through our role in our family. But there is also no question that the serve God question, what does God want? How am I to be diligent? What am I to not neglect? That question can subtly and almost undetectably drift into secondary status. Why are you going to this college? Well, they have this and this. And why are you going to this college? And to what extent do you feel that this was something that first you prayed about and felt guided in, and so forth? Why are you living your life here and not there? Why are you pursuing this and not that? The feel of the advice that Paul gives to Timothy is that he stays centered on what is primary. Timothy's call was considered, I will admit, straightforward and unambiguous. That's what makes this hard. Paul says, you know exactly what it is, what your call is. Don't you dare neglect that. What can make this more troublesome for us is we may not know how to name our call so specifically. I don't think this makes us lesser believers. But it might tempt us, though, to consider a text like this then to be not relevant. But not knowing exactly what we're called to is no reason to not keep that question primary. Allow me, 1 week late, 1 week after Mother's Day, to give you a Mother's Day illustration from my life about my mother. And again, this is a repeat. So now you get two old stories on one Sunday. But I'll tell you, I remember where I was standing. It happened, this advice came to me more than once, but I remember one time where I was standing, the bottom of the steps in the utility room in our farmhouse when I was about 12 years old. And my own mother told me, I don't care what you do. My parents never told me to be a pastor. They never really encouraged me to do that. What my mother said was, I don't care what you do, as long as it is what God wants you to do. That's the letter that I received from Paul. I don't care what you do, as long as you remember to ask, is this what God wants you to do? It was great advice to a young teenager, and it serves me well even now at my current stage in life. My mother, I believe, avoided the straw man of, well, I'm not sure what my gift is, by suggesting instead that the question should always be before me, what does God want you to do, and do you feel you're seeking that in the steps you're taking now? So, in assessing career options, more than income or fame or aptitude, my mother's questions would have been, are you understanding this is the best way to serve God? So to the graduates of 2017. Doesn't this sound like I ought to be giving a speech? So to the graduates of 2017, not just the graduates from high school or college, But for all of us who are graduating into the next days of the rest of our life, each one of us here, hear again these ancient words from an older man named Paul, and if you have ears to hear, then hear. Set an example. Devote yourself. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent. Watch your life and doctrine closely, and persevere. Amen.